bringing beer to your ear. It's time for What's on Tap. What's on Tap on KX93.5.
All right, so like we said before, being the official radio station of the craft brew scene here in Southern California comes with great responsibility. That's why we are bringing you this brand new segment. It is What's on Tap, courtesy of Straub Distributing Company and KX93.5. We are joined again by our resident, I guess, beer wizards, and that's Howard Compton and Matt Medina. Welcome back, you guys.
Thank you, Mookie.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time, and we do have a guest in the studio as well. This is Ava Burton, who you've heard on the airwaves before.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. I didn't realize you were a beer person, Ava.
Yeah, I'm not.
No.
She talks funny.
We're going to convert you.
Absolutely. So this month we are highlighting the Goose Island Brews. And they are a brewery from right in the city of Chicago, right?
That's correct.
Right.
Urban brewer.
And last week we highlighted the Goose Island Matilda, which was really good. And I guess coming from, you know, myself, who's a guy who really likes hoppy beers, IPAs and stuff like that, you guys introduced me to a damn fine Belgian style brew.
Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's going on since the last time I talked to you guys? How are things?
Things are great. You know, you were talking about IPAs, and Ava here being from England, they had a lot to do with that. They developed pale ale, which led into the IPAs.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is an IPA? I guess the whole thing was stronger hops for some reason.
Yeah, right? Let me explain. You know, we got our independence from England in 1776, so they went over to England and
Matt clapping because of our independence.
Yes.
Yeah.
So England had a lot of free time on their hands, so they started developing beers, and they already had some beers, but they developed a pale ale. One of the first pale ales was Bass in 1777. Then they colonized India, so they shipped beer over there and they shipped pale ales, but they wouldn't make the long journey. So what they did is they put more hops and more alcohol. Both those things are preservatives. So they were also happy people because it had more alcohol in it.
Right, right. So adding more hops preserves the beer.
Yes.
Amazing. Ava, these guys have forgotten more about beer than I could ever know. That's why I call them the beer wizards.
I'm speechless. Speechless, but what I would like to say is that in England, you would never find beer in a wine bottle. What's that all about?
Is that not beautiful?
Well, we try to romance our products over here in the United States, so we put them in nice bottles.
I came in here thinking I was going to get a glass of wine.
Well, it looks like
a wine
glass.
And
yeah.
You tell me it's beer.
It's the closest thing you're going to get.
Well, the beer that we're highlighting today is the Goose Island Sophie. And if it would be agreeable to you guys, I want to read the description from the Goose Island website.
Absolutely.
All right. It says, fermented with wild yeast and aged in wine barrels with orange peel, Sophie is a tart, dry, sparkling ale, a subtle, spicy white pepper note, a hint of citrus, from the orange peel and creamy vanilla finish makes Sophie an intriguing choice for champagne drinkers and beer drinkers who are fond of Belgian saisons.
Yes.
Now, I guess we kind of talked about what a saison was last week, or maybe we didn't, but I keep seeing them in my favorite brew pubs.
I think we touched on it. Saison, basically is in French, means season. So they've kind of...
So a seasonal beer?
Go figure.
Yeah, they originally were developed in the wintertime to be served in the summertime, and they were called farmhouse ales because each farm had their own unique ingredients. So they all were different style, different unique beers for that area. But they had to be thirst quenching and refreshing. And usually the women helped brew the beer back then because the men were out in the field working.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't have equipment, so that was part of their provisions.
Wow. You ever see that video online about how beer saved the world?
It did.
Right? You haven't seen that, Ava?
No, not seen that.
No, I guess way back in the day when the humans were, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? You know,
cave people.
Almost cave people.
Neanderthal.
You know, I guess beer was a vital part of their diet, you know, for energy and stuff like that. That's what I hear.
Yeah, because typically water would make you sick. And so they didn't know what was going on, but they knew when they drank beer, they didn't get sick. So they didn't understand that actually the boiling process of it killed off any of the the cooties that were in the water.
Right, right. So, basically sanitizing the water,
exactly.
Right?
Yes. So they didn't know what it was. They just knew that when we drank it, it didn't make us sick, and it made us feel kind of good.
Kind of good. So not only did we bring the Goose Island Sophie, but you guys brought a sour beer as well today, right?
Yes, Juliet.
Right.
So you get a try on both today.
What are the characteristics of a sour beer? What makes it a sour beer?
Wild yeast. This one has Bitinomyces, and it's wild fermentation. So we'll get to that one after Sophie, but you're going to enjoy it.
Okay. Can we pour the Sophie?
Yes.
I'll pour you guys talk.
It's making me laugh because my little sister's called Sophie.
Oh, really?
Yes. Well, this name was named after somebody named Sophie. John Hall, which started the brewery, had a son, which was the brewmaster at the time, mm-hmm. and he named this after his 10-year-old granddaughter, Sophie. And that's how the name got started. Then Greg Hall also had a son, and he named King Henry's after that, which we can't get anymore.
No. I love how the Goose Island beers, each beer has a name, and there's a story behind each one of them. That is pretty cool. So the Goose Island Sophie is what we're pouring in our glasses right now. Again, we touched on this last week, but Matt, you basically poured this straight down the middle, huh?
Yes.
Yes, you did. And
sorry, still pouring. Hold on.
You are still pouring, but I guess since you're away from the microphone, Howard, why do we pour this beer straight down the middle? Because that goes against everything I've ever known.
Yes, and that's why we like talking about beer, Matt and I. When you pour it down the middle, you're releasing that carbonation of the beer, and when you release the carbonation, you're going to get the aromatics, the aroma of the beer in there. Mm-hmm. So you got to always release that carbonation. Plus, when you release the carbonation, you're not drinking the carbonation. When you drink the carbonation, you're going to get bloated, and it's not going to taste that good.
Right, and I get, like you said before, if you're at a restaurant, you could order more appetizers, eat more food, and drink more beer without the added carbonation.
Yes.
So I'm just I'll start again. I'm just going to go back to the bottle thing, because...
Would you not say this is a sexy bottle?
Well, it just looks like a wine bottle.
A sexy wine bottle.
Maybe to you because it has beer in it. But when you have a beer, apparently, you have a bottle of beer. Does that mean that this whole bottle is your bottle of beer?
No, it can be. But we like you to pull this out of the refrigerator with a couple nice glasses. If you don't have the appropriate glass, get a couple wine glasses. Share it with your friend. Right here, this bottle just served the four of us. It's refreshing. You bring it out of the refrigerator, your friend's going to go, what is that? Just like you did, Ava. And it catches your
attention.
Right,
you're like, what is that?
I'm not convinced.
That would be very classy if you were to serve that to your friends at a cocktail party.
You think?
I'm just saying, absolutely. Mm. And what is the ideal glass to be drinking this Goose Island Sophie Belgian style out of?
We want to drink it out of a wide-mouthed glass to get the aromatics up to your nose.
Sure, and these glasses basically look like wine glasses with the Goose Island logo. Is pretty cool.
What we have here, so we'll describe it on air. It's a stem glassware, so you're not holding the beer in your hand, you're not warming it up. Mm. And then also it's a wide mouth glass. It's sort of like wine when you have the wine glasses. When you have a Chablis, you want it in a slender glass, and the reds, you want it in a wider glass. Same with beer. So when we have our lager beers, we're going to have it in a slenderer glass, and with our bolder beers, our ales are going to be in a wider glass, typically.
A lager and an ale, I'm sorry, what was the difference again?
Lagers are bottom fermented. The yeast falls to the bottom.
Yeah.
And ales, the yeast rises to the top.
And generally, it's a shorter brewing process for a lager. Yeah.
Yes, half the time. For an ale. Half the time for an ale as it does a lager. Lager takes a long time, a month, so to get the finished product.
Ava, do you have any questions for our beer wizards? Again, Howard Compton, Matt Medina are in studio from Straub Distributing Company, and this is a What's on Tap segment.
No questions.
No?
Right this minute.
Well, okay. Matt, we are now approaching this beer, and we want to take our first sip.
Okay.
So what are we looking for here, brother?
We definitely want to look at it, see what we're getting.
I think
up
I could see little pieces of yeast floating in there. Is that uncommon?
No. Suspended yeast is very common. I'm looking at mine right now. I've got quite a bit of stuff floating around in it, and that's good.
That is good, huh? That's no mistake.
No mistake at all. Mm. Ava, you look like you're a little nervous.
We touched on this before too.
I wish the radio listeners.
Urine sample.
Yeah, I wish.
It is a very light looking beer, right?
Right.
I wish we could see her face right now. It's awesome.
Again, a Belgian style ale is something basically made with Belgian hops.
Correct. Belgium yeast.
Oh, Belgium yeast. I'm sorry. And that basically makes it Belgium style. Do you know what other ingredients they used in this particular brew, the Goose Island Sophie?
Yes, they have pale malt. They have wheat malt, whole wheat malt in there, and the Amarillo hops in this one.
Right. It says in the description, orange peel is...
So they use 40 pounds of orange zest in each barrel.
Right.
So you're going to taste a lot of the citrus notes.
It's like if you take a knife and you peel an orange real thin, mm-hmm. you're going to get that orange zest off there, and that's what they put in the barrels.
Okay, let's try it.
Can we?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Absolutely. Well, cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Cheers. I reach over and give you a cheers, but I can't
air
reach
cheers,
you.
Cheers.
Cheers, Matt. Well...
Just watching Ava's face.
Yeah,
what do you think?
What do you think, Ava?
It's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
And this is from coming someone who doesn't drink beer, correct?
Yeah, I'm not a beer drinker. But that's not bad. It's very, very light.
What are you doing here if you're not a beer drinker?
I just did do as I'm told.
Okay, yeah. I guess we wanted the aspect of somebody who really, you know, just approaching this and really has no idea what they're talking about as far as beer. I really don't either, Ava.
Glad you came in with this one, because this is a great beer. It's not going to be too aggressive, too threatening to a lot of people. It's very easy drinking, as you can see. Are you getting the Chardonnay flavor? Are you getting the wine, the orange peel? What are you getting out of it? Take another sip. You need three sips to really...
Absolutely.
The other problem is I brushed my teeth not so long ago, and I'm still a bit minty.
Getting that toothpaste flavor, right. I definitely smell the wine aspect of it all. Yeah,
it is. It's very refreshing.
So people that like wine and champagne gravitate towards this beer.
What do you think would be a good food pairing with the Goose Island Sophie?
Sushi, shellfish,
salads.
Right, so lighter foods, I guess,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And you said you're a big cheese guy as well. What sort of cheese might you recommend with this?
Brie cheese. Mm-hmm. That's one of them. You could do all kinds of cheeses with this. What's nice about beer versus wine on cheese, since we're getting on that topic, is cheese coats your tongue. All dairy, fatty foods coat your tongue. And wine's a good food pairer also, but it doesn't strip your tongue clean.
Right.
Where beer strips your tongue clean. So you do this at home. Take a piece of cheese, eat it. It's going to be on your tongue. It's going to coat it. Take a drink of the wine. It's going to slide over the top of your tongue. Then take a beer and drink that. It's going to cleanse your tongue because it has a secret ingredient called scrubbing bubbles, the CO2, and it strips your tongue clean.
Yeah.
So it's a good food pairer because it's ready for the next course.
Unbelievable. Well, this beer is mighty tasty, you guys. I really appreciate you guys bringing it in. And Ava, obviously you know that beer is the new wine, you know?
Yeah, but really, is it? I mean, people just drink beer to get drunk, don't they? How many people are sat around?
We're just talking about all the great nuances of each particular beer and the different styles of brew and the process. You know, it's unbelievable.
Yes, Eva, I don't drink beer to get drunk. I drink a little sip to enjoy the flavor out the complexity
really?
Of it.
Yeah, you don't look like the type of person to drink beer to get drunk.
So... you must have hung around some friends that were that way.
Probably so in your college days.
Probably
so. Yeah. To touch on it again, the four main ingredients of any beer, you guys.
The first one is water. That's integrity of beer. We have to have the same water for each brewery. Has the same water. Each brewery has different components they want to pull out and put in because you need minerals in your beer. That's integrity. Second is the body and soul. That's the barley malt. Mm-hmm. So that's the second ingredient.
Which also gives it the color, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good, Mookie. He's been paying attention.
He's learning.
He's getting there. I'm at. So what happens is the longer you kill that or roast it, it's going to be a darker. A lot of people get confused. They think the darkness is going to add to the alcohol content. It has nothing to do with that. It's going to give it the color, and it's going to give it the building blocks for all the fermentation to start. Sorry, I just burped here.
No problem. Hey, we are drinking beer.
Yes. Right. Well, it's working.
Yeah.
Totally.
Casualties of work, right?
So we've got the water. We've got the malts or barley.
Barley malt.
Right.
Yes.
And, of course, the hops.
The hops. And there's different hops. There's aromatic hops, and there's bittering hops. And I like aromatic beers, so I like beers that have a lot of nose to it. it gets me going. I go, I try to figure out what's in that beer. So I get excited when I smell something, and I try to figure out what's in that beer. So hops, the aromatics of that.
Man, you got great. A sophisticated palate, yes. My friend. Yes. Again, this is Howard Compton, Matt Medina in studio, Ava Burton. I hope you join us each and every Friday if you can make it.
If you want great. Me. Yeah. If you want me. By the end of it, I might be a drunk.
Perhaps.
Hope not.
We'll convert you. We'll convert you.
Okay. So are people, I guess people are really getting into beer like they got into wine.
Yes.
Totally.
I guess that, I mean, I know people are into beer, but yeah. In a different way, people are getting... Yeah. Intellectually into beer, if
they
you
are. There's all those beer bars, and oftentimes they'll have a big chalkboard of a rotating list of beers that they have. They give you the alcohol content, they give you the IBU, which is, do you know what that is?
No.
Isn't it International Bitterness something?
Yeah, International Bittering Units. So, Ava, the higher the number on the beer, this is 20 on Sophie. If you get up to 100, that's pretty bitter beer. Mm-hmm. And some brewers, what they do is put more malt in their beer. That's the sweetness to counterbalance the bitterness, so it's more balanced.
So what would the IBU be on a Guinness?
Ooh, that's pretty low.
Yeah, that's pretty low, I would say. Yeah, but at the end of the month, since we're highlighting Goose Island beers, we will be highlighting one of their IPAs, from what I understand, right? So that would be... super bitter, right, compared to what we're drinking, the Sophie today.
It's going to be much more bitter in this, but not super bitter. It won't be like the West Coast IPAs, which are good also, but this is going to be an English IPA, so it's going to be from your style and your country.
Ava. Beautiful.
Yeah, way more sessionable, easy to drinking. And when I say sessionable, you can have more than one. Some of the ones which I love, you can really only have one of them because they'll kind of destroy your palate. Very, very, very hoppy, very, very bitter. But they're all different. So the one that we're doing, the Goose Island IPA, is very easy drinking. Ava, I think you might even like it.
I have a question for you guys. Oh, I'm sorry, Ava. Did you have a thing?
I was going to say I don't hate it.
Right.
It's a start, right?
See, that's all we need.
It's almost like a very complex glass of wine, wouldn't you say? Oh,
she's nodding her head, yes.
There's a lot going on
in
each and every sip. So what is the story behind this beer being called Sophie? We didn't even touch on that yet, did we?
Yeah, John Hall's granddaughter.
Oh, okay.
Sophie. We talked a little bit about that.
Oh, sorry. I'm
sorry, you weren't listening. You were too busy drinking your beer.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's having a hard time talking because he's always sipping on that beer.
Yeah, totally. Right? I did want to go home and eventually brew my own beer. And I did have a question for you guys. What's the best way to sanitize the bottles and sanitize all of this stuff? Am I just boiling it? Am I using iodine? I mean, Matt, you said you tinkered with brewing and
being
a home brewer, right?
They sell different acids and whatnot that you can use to clean. Any homebrew shop will sell... there's plenty of different cleaning supplies, but make sure that's the biggest thing. Because if you have something that's contaminated, it can ruin everything.
No way. I don't want to ruin my beer.
No, you wouldn't want to do that.
Cleanliness is godliness.
But all of a sudden, I guess you could put all the ingredients together and you could have a beer at home that you made within 2 weeks, right?
Yes, you can.
Howard's nodding his head, yes, but I don't think that works so well for the radio. Again, Straub Distributing Company is where these guys are from. Our resident beer wizards, Howard Compton, Matt Medina, Ava Burton is in our studio. This is the What's on Tap segment exclusively right here on KX93.5. Last week we highlighted the Goose Island Matilda. If you missed that, the podcast is available up on KX935.com. And also you brought a sour beer today too, and it looks like you are about ready to open up that thing, and that is the Juliet.
Yes, I'm going to crack this open, start pouring some.
If I was called Juliet, if I was the Juliet that beer was named after, I'd be a little bit miffed.
Would you?
Well, it's a sour beer.
Right.
It's not this light, pleasant, bubbly thing.
Well, it was named after the person responsible for sour beers.
Oh, there you go.
That is... definitely a different color than the Sophie, what we're drinking right now. It almost looks like it looks more pink, does it not?
It's a rosé. Can you have a rosé beer?
That's what it kind of looks like.
Guess what's in this beer?
I don't know.
Rose petals.
No, blackberries.
Oh.
No way. And so they just like any beer, when you add a special ingredient like that, that's in the tail end of the brewing process.
So after it's brewed, it's put in a keg, or barrel, I mean, and it's whole blackberries put in there, and it's aged on that.
No way. Do you mind if I try it? I guess, Matt, you already delved into it, huh?
These are called wild ales, by the way.
Wow.
Okay, yeah, smell it first.
Aromatics are fantastic on this.
No way.
It does not smell like beer.
It doesn't. What does it smell like to you?
It smells fruity. Mm. It does smell fruity. I'll give you that.
It does have fruit in it.
Sour smell out of it, too.
It gets me in a certain part of the tongue. I can tell that right off the bat, yeah.
Remember we talked about the tongue, how you have mouth filled. The front of your tongue is going to be sweet. The very back is going to be bitter. The sides are going to be salty.
We found someone who doesn't like sours.
Across the middle is going to be sour, and that's where you're tasting this, across the middle of your tongue.
Wow. Now, sour beers is kind of, would you say it's not that you need a sophisticated palate, but it might be a...
This is considered acquired taste.
What is that all about?
What is that? Do you know what Angus Juris Bitters is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what that reminds me of.
What is that?
It's something you put in gin. I don't actually know what it is. I'm sure Howard will know exactly what it is.
Really?
What it's made of.
No, but you drink gin, huh?
But I have been known to.
She dabbles.
It's on the gin.
A sour beer use Belgian-style hops as well?
Yeast.
This has
Vitinomyces and Pediococcus in it.
Wow. And
Michael Dukakis.
He ran for president several years back.
And he lost.
Well, this is really good. I don't know if I would buy this myself.
You like that?
Well, you know, I do.
Okay.
I don't think I'll go home and drink it on my own, though. Maybe as a taster, just to understand how you know, the brewing process and stuff.
But where's the pleasure in that?
Ava, this is actually a softer sour ale. A lot of them are more citrusy, and this one's pretty pleasant. So you develop as you keep on drinking them, and that category is growing very fast.
Really?
In the Midwest, the sours and the ciders are huge out there, and they're coming this way. You see a lot more ciders out this way now, too.
Do you know, it doesn't taste like it smells.
No.
Not to my palate.
This is the Goose Island Juliet, again, a sour brew. What are some of the other sour beers that are pretty popular these days? Do you know?
We got Lolita. They also brew.
I'm sorry.
I wish you guys could see
her face. Her
face
is amazing. Like we're poisoning her.
Yeah.
Tastes like a Sour Patch Kid.
And I like that. That's my taste. I like that.
Is that right?
It's not like I'm going to drink it. A whole big glass of it. I'm going to have a 10-ounce glass and enjoy that.
Right. It's a sipper. You know what I mean, Ava? It's one of those.
Yeah, you're not going to get drunk too quick on that, are you?
I didn't notice. Actually, I wasn't even looking at it. It just kind of went down the gullet. But I did not notice pieces of yeast floating around.
No.
Yeah, that's not a characteristic of the sours.
Some of them are.
Yeah.
This one's not.
Oh, really?
There's a whole spectrum of souring beers. Mm. This is just kind of one little small fragment of it. But yeah, we could take you on a sour tour.
Awesome.
And
dude, you guys invited me to Bootleggers, and I definitely want to do that. Bootleggers is where again?
In downtown Fullerton.
Right, and you said, I guess from Carlsbad, I could take the train up.
Take the train.
Yeah.
Hop off.
It's perfect. I totally want to do that. Yeah. And then on Thursdays, you said a bunch of beer people get together and kind of swap stories and beer.
Yes, that's right? Where I've learned a lot of stuff. And they bring some really good stuff in, sours, everything else. Anything you can think of.
Yeah.
And even beers you can't think of, they bring in. So.
What's in your fridge right now, Matt?
Oh, man, I've got some. I just made a little trip up to Nicosi, which is in Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah.
And I brought home a couple little special beers that they only sell up there that we can't get down here. So,
is it like all beer people from around the country kind of know each other? And you said, hey, you know, I'm kind of in town. Can I come by and hang out with you guys?
There's a secret handshake you have to know.
That all the beer people know?
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll teach it to you maybe next week.
Nicosi's another brewery who's on the rise. And you could find their beers really all around Southern California all of a sudden, based out of Eugene, Oregon. I have a friend, Gail Skidmore, who's a recording artist, and she is sponsored by Nicosi. And you just told me that they're about to build their own recording studio on the grounds, right?
Oh, they're making this this office building. They're gonna have like three bars, a little mini brewing center,
awesome,
rock climbing wall,
cool,
and then like I said, the recording studio. So there's a lot of things going on over there.
My girlfriend said she wants to surprise me this weekend and take me to a North County San Diego brewery, but she won't tell me which one it is. It could be a number. It could be Stone. It could be, there's a bunch in Vista, Escondido, Carlsbad, Oceanside, you know what I mean?
They open up every week down there, Mookie. Every week there's something new opening up down there.
Yeah, pretty much. So next time I talk to you guys, I guess next Friday, I will be speaking tales of a weekend of, again, discovering new beer for myself. You know what I have in my fridge is the Clown Shoes. I think they're from Massachusetts, mm-hmm. but it's a black IPA, which I've rarely had, but it tastes like an IPA traditionally, but the color is black. Now, have you had that, or you've encountered a black IPA before, right?
Yes. Yeah. Some of the black IPAs use debittered malt, and what that is, since the more you roast your malt, it's going to pick up a little bitterness. So what they do is they take the husk off it, and that's called debittered malt. Right. So it's not as bitter from the malt being burnt like you would toast. Mm-hmm. If you take a piece of toast and put it in the toaster oven and roast it a little longer, it's going to be kind of pale. Keep on doing it, and if you forget about it like you probably do, Ava, it's going to be burnt.
Don't think so.
So it's going to be burnt. So it's going to have that burnt taste to it, and we don't want that sometimes, so they debitter the malt.
Right. Ava actually floated me her Goose Island Juliet sour style beer, and that's okay. I'll drink it for you.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm never going to like that. But I just did take another sip of the Sophie.
We need to get her on TV. This is classic.
I know. Next time we'll get webcams in the studio. And
but again, watch me throw up.
Our first segment was very well received around the music community and some beer drinkers.
You don't say.
Yeah, totally.
There was a line of fans outside. We signed autographs. It was amazing.
I know. That's Matt Medina, Howard Compton, Ava Burton here in studio. It is What's on Tap, our brand new beer segment right here on KX93.5. You guys know where you could find the Goose Island Sophie as well as Juliet around Southern California?
Juliet's a seasonal product, so it's going to be harder to find because they're called the sisters. There's four of them out, and this one got developed in 2009, the same year as Sophie did. Mm-hmm. Sophie is available year-round, and you can find that in any high-end wine place or high-end beer shop like Total Wine or BevMo. Whole Foods has them. Any place like that will carry them. And they're very attractive. I recommend getting the 765 bottle instead of the 4-pack or the 12-ounce bottles, because this is much more impressive when you bring it out of the fridge and show your friends.
Looks great.
Well, I was disappointed.
Why were you disappointed?
Because I thought it was a bottle of wine.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Sorry.
We'll get you to really appreciate beer before it's all said and done, Ava.
Is it just Goose Island, though, that are making bottles like this? I'm going to be a novice, clearly.
Most breweries will have a 22-ounce bottle, which isn't as fancy as this one, but there's some beer, some breweries that have pretty fancy bottles as well.
Yeah, some of them are corked and caged. They have a cage over the cork, so they're very attractive also.
Like a champagne bottle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you opened any of those before?
Champagne or beer?
Champagne.
Plenty.
Oh. So really?
If you brought some in, I could teach you all a thing or two, I'm sure.
Yeah. On the champagne?
Uh-huh. Well, beer, if it's bottled like champagne.
Well, maybe next time when you're celebrating something, you could celebrate with a wonderful Goose Island brew.
I'm expecting it's not as... Maybe I could, and I expect it's not as expensive as a bottle of Dom Perignon.
Probably not, right? Oh, how much for a bottle of Sophie, you figure?
$9.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the Juliet's 25
bucks. Oh, wow.
Way overpriced for my taste.
Well, these beers are great. I love what you guys have brought in so far. They are very complex. I love talking about beer, and we are happy to have you each and every Friday. So this is going to be a regular thing, right,
every
you guys?
Every Friday. What's happening, Mookie, is the younger generation wants something unique, something different, something full of flavor, and these beers fit that description. So that's what's neat. The younger generation, not like Ava's, because she said they were all getting drunk, they want something they could drink.
Right.
And have flavor in it.
How young? What sort of age are we talking about?
Age group?
Yeah.
21 to 32.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. Wow.
They're younger than us.
And it's weird. You sit down, you watch them. Everyone orders a different beer. They'll typically pass it around, try it, different styles. And it's more of a sharing bonding process with beer than, you know, ordering a pitcher of beer and just throwing it back.
Right. Amazing.
Amazing that they've got the money to do that. Really.
Right.
Well, you think about it. I mean, a lot of times they'd order 10 of these, you know, regular beers, or they're going to order one of these big beers and just enjoy it.
How many glasses are in? Is it like a
wine bottle? Yeah. Like a wine bottle.
Mm-hmm. So there's 765s. I mean, 765s, which these are. We have the 750s out there and the 22-ounce.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, next week you guys are going to bring in another Goose Island brew. Again, all month it's Goose Island. Do we have any idea what we're going to be trying next week?
Pear Jock.
Okay.
Pear Jock is a Belgian double. You're going to enjoy it.
Uh-huh. And I'm sorry, a double or imperial is what?
Double the amount of ingredients.
Okay. And that's double hops, double malts, double yeast as well?
Double fun.
And double the fun, and sometimes double the alcohol.
Yes, they're higher in alcohol.
Also, next time I also want to touch on macro brews versus micro brews.
Okay.
And all of that stuff, and I'll have lots of questions for you as well. And Ava, you be thinking about things to ask the beer wizards while you're here next week, okay?
I've got a friend, actually, who Jason and I have a friend, Jason Feddy. That is, you know, that DJ.
I know that guy.
We have a friend. He actually used to be Jason's manager back in the day. But his background is food. And he started his own micro beer. And they bottled it and sold it. And I don't know how successful it was, but it was in the supermarket.
Is that a few years back now?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He was probably way ahead on the forefront before the craft beer craze started happening, right?
I'm sure.
I wonder what happened. Will you find out before next week?
I can try and find out before next week. I'll Facebook him, shall I?
Absolutely.
What happened to your beer, Richard? Did it sell?
Right. Say what you want, but people are responsive on Facebook. Howard Compton, Matt Medina, anything else to touch on before we kind of let you go and wrap it up for this week's segment?
I think we're good here. Thank you for having us again. And
absolutely.
Ava, thank you for being our lab rat.
I don't know, guinea pig, I guess. Yeah.
She was fun, wasn't she, Matt?
She's a blast.
If you guys have any beer art lying around the Straub facility, I would love to get some from my apartment. Me and my girlfriend, we have this bar that we're kind of working on, and we already have a couple pieces of art for around our apartment. But if you guys have anything, please float it our way.
Man, he's pretty sophisticated art, huh? We call it POS, point of sale.
I'm sure there's some breweries that would love to donate some stuff.
That's what he's talking about.
Maybe some neon signs or something like that.
I'm sure there's some breweries that would love to do that.
Again, Matt Medina, Howard Compton, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Mookie.
And, of course, if you missed anything, the podcast will be available in about 10 minutes from now for your download pleasure up on KX935.com. Ava, thank you for being here
as
well.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Ava.
This has been What's on Tap. Listen on Fridays at 4 p.m. for more brews and beer tips.